happening. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, wherever you are in the world. This is the Fakeologist Show. It is Friday, July 1st, 2022. It's 8:12 in the morning, Eastern Daylight Saving Time here on the North Shore of Lake Ontarible in Toronto, Ontarible, Canada. Former lockdown capital, probably, of the world. And today we have a special early morning broadcast on this Canada Day. Yes, it's Canada Day, formerly known as Dominion Day, and I believe they're trying to change the name to New Day because I don't think they like the word Canada anymore, as Canada has offered itself up to be the first post-nation state where, you know, we're just citizens of the world. We're not part of this old, awful, colonial, native-exploiting, British franchise known as Canada anymore. So I think they're trying to rename the country because it won't even be a country anyway in the future. And yeah, that's our new world order. Now today we had a, we're starting early because A, it's a holiday, and B, whenever I have someone from overseas, the continent, I like to accommodate their time zone so they don't have to stay up till 2 a.m. And we got a message today. I got a message today from former guest John Lukash, who is helping people around the world try and detoxify from this deadly, poisonous, biological, experimental injection that people call a vaccine. And he somehow got into contact with a lovely Manchurian female over in England. And her name is Hannah, and she is going to tell her story, and John is going to help along with the story because he's the one that brought it to my attention. So without further ado, let me say hello to the lovely Hannah over in Manchester, England, and I'm going to pop you up on the screen and fill it up with your pretty face and say hi to the world.
Hi. Hello.
How could what possibly could be wrong with a lovely woman like you? You look perfectly fine. Lovely face, beautiful hair, sunny disposition. Come on, tell us there's really nothing wrong with you. This is just a stage show.
Yeah, no, I can't do that, unfortunately. There's a lot wrong with me. I'm not just pretty face.
Oh, okay.
So do you want me to tell basically what's happened?
Yes. First of all, did you say your age already, or John say your age? Does that can we ask age of the millennium? 23. Wow, that is so young. John and I are, like we say, old guys that are just trying to save the world here. So what happened to you? What's going on with your generation? What are we doing to you, young people? What's happening?
Some complete depopulation is happening.
I basically
all my life, my mum has been a lot like you and John, always one step ahead of everyone else in regards to vaccines and mass media and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky when I was younger that she never let me have any of the shots.
Really?
No
childhood never shots?
No.
Oh, never. Bring your mom on. I want her to take a bow in front of the camera.
I don't think she would.
Wow. Mom? I wish I had a mom like that. That's amazing. That is so rare.
Yeah.
Diamond in the rough.
Well, she's a good one, but obviously I didn't listen to her properly. But anyway, so I always had like eczema when I was growing up, so she knew I had like blood disorders anyway, atopic eczema, asthma, hay fever. So that's another reason why she'd ever let me get anything like in my blood, basically. Mm-hmm. And then, so when the pandemic started, my mum was sending me things at the beginning of 2020 about how they're going to roll out a vaccine and how it's going to be deadly and its depopulation and stuff like that. And I did fully believe her. I completely read every WhatsApp that she sent me. It's just I wasn't as entangled in it as her because I was a 21-year-old girl just living my life, going to uni.
Understood. Understood. So were you away from home when she's sending you all this info?
Yeah, I was. I think I was in my last year of university, and also I was with my partner a lot. So I moved out from my mum. So another reason why she thinks that I didn't fully get it ingrained in my head is because I didn't actually live with her at the time. She was just sending me the things on like WhatsApp and stuff. Whereas when I was younger, it was obviously constant because I did live with her. So it was like always drummed into my head. So all throughout 2020 and 2021, my mum was sending me things and I think the vaccine rollout in the UK was beginning of 2021, maybe March last year. So I just said, like, I'm not getting it, don't want it, don't need it. All my friends got it. They started rolling out like mandates that to get into like nightclubs and bars that you had to have a QR code, a vaccine. And I was the one who was always like embarrassed because I was always the one left outside because I was like, I don't have it, I don't want it. So I just go home. And then sort of they started, the UK was on like a red zone for the rest of the world that they wouldn't, all the other countries wouldn't let us in unless we were vaccinated. And then they started opening up like Spain and stuff like that. So to unvaccinated travellers in like October last year. So me and my boyfriend booked to go to Tenerife for March of this year. Because I was like, don't need a vaccine, it's fine. So we paid, and you had to pay up front, which obviously now I know why they did it. It was like over £1,000 and stuff. And then they then mandated it again back in November that you needed to be vaccinated to go to Spain, but we'd already paid. So for a good sort of November and majority of December, about 6 weeks, my boyfriend at this point was fully vaccinated, by the way. It was kind of like it's not that he didn't get why I wasn't just getting the vaccine so we could go away, but it kind of was as well because he just didn't have anything like my mum, so he didn't get why I was skeptical.
Right, right.
Everyone
needs a mum like yours, I tell you, for protection.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Can we get your mum on later? Because I'd love to talk to a truthful mum as well.
Yeah, she'd love that, to be fair. She'll just have to put a bit of makeup on, she said.
Well, we could. Hey, listen, John and I don't have our cameras. I don't have a camera because, this is audio. This is not a video production, but I know the young people and all the Zoomers of the last couple of years love the camera. But that's fine. She doesn't have to be on camera, which audio is just fine if she'd like.
I'll get her.
As a matter of fact, if mom has another computer she can use or a phone, she can Skype in as well or use the link for audio as well. If she would like to do that, we can send her the link or give her the link so she could be in another room on another device if you'd like to do that too.
Yeah, do you want to do that now?
Yeah, of course. She can get set up, get her audio working, take her time.
The only thing is, I don't think we have any more of these. We won't make sure she'll have to just speak into the.
Sure. Well, as long as she's close to the mic, that's cool. That's cool.
I won't be a sec.
John, do you want to give a little background while Hannah has stepped away?
Yeah, sure. Hannah reached out to me with a fairly lengthy medical history, you know, since she received her shots, and doing a little investigation, we found that she actually had gotten two Pfizer shots at the top of the toxicity list for those given outside the United States. So Hannah's a fairly advanced case. It's, you know, I don't want to be too down on it because we're trying to keep a very positive face here, but she's a little past the point where some of my advice is going to have any kind of immediate effect. All this kind of happened a couple of months prior to our even making contact. So everything we're doing here is an abatement strategy and a mitigation strategy, and we're looking for some good results now.
How did she find you, John? Sorry to interrupt, but I know you're a very powerful speaker, so I got to get my questions in while I think about it. How did she find you exactly?
She wrote me an email. You could ask her how she came upon me. I'm not sure. Maybe okay. She found me somehow. But my work has been getting around, I've probably got contacts in every country in the world now.
Oh, beautiful! Wow.
Yeah.
Because you're not easy to find, but you're not easy to find. And I know the Fakeologist Radio Network is not that wide, so it can't be from my show. But I know you were on another show, a bigger show, SGT Reports, which is great.
Yeah, I actually appeared there a couple of times. Once as just a panelist, and then again we did an interview on the 24th that was just solely on my book. I've had a few other offers. Talking to Greg Hunter a little bit, talking to Ann Vandersteel. So the thing is, I can only really manage the response from one of these interviews at a time. It's a 200 email a day and constant phone calls kind of thing.
Let's just say hi to Catherine. Catherine joined in. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. It's my mom.
Hello. Hello, I'm Hannah's mom.
Okay. Can you get a little farther away from Hannah's mic because you're picking up on her? On her unit, so you're gonna have
to go in a different room.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to separate.
But I'm in a different room now. I've just got out the shower with the back. I'm glad I don't have mom, so it's by the shower with the towel in my head and everything's off.
All right, and get as close to the mic as you can, please, so we can hear every bit of information.
Hear me now?
Yeah, the closer you get to the mic, the closer you get to the mic, the better, and maybe a little closer to your router, because I've got you coming in on a weaker connection.
Right. If you just bear me a second, I'll just give my mum the earphones for a second and let her speak.
Okay, but make sure you guys get apart from each other so we... Otherwise, we get feedback. We're trying different things here on the Fakeologist Radio Network here, trying to get everyone on board. And now she's putting in her earplug. And I'm going to mute Anna right now. That way we won't
Hello?
Get the feedback. Yeah, hi, Catherine.
Hello. Hiya. Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Ab, the Fakeologist, and we have John Lukash on, who's helping your daughter.
Hi, Catherine. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for your help, John. Yeah, because I knew from a few weeks in what was going on, and I did plenty of research, went down the rabbit hole. I know exactly what's going on. I know who's behind it. It's too much for people to take in. They just don't want to know. Even the ones who now know as the jabs are causing some injuries, they don't want to know what's behind it. It's too much for them. But I knew early on, but I couldn't get to my daughter because she was living with her dad at the moment. She was living with her dad. And I like to send her things and send her information, but he's like a big virtue signaling more. And I'm sorry, my ex.
Are you Scottish you know or I mean? Irish? I'm trying to decode your accent, my dear.
Oh, yeah. I live in Manchester.
Yeah.
UK. Sort of Manchester accent.
Okay. Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a bit Irish or Scottish, but okay, that's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like... I don't know my accents. I have a few people I talk to over there, and I love to try and figure out where people are from. So obviously, I'm not that great at it. That's fantastic. So how did you get to be such a smart truther, Mom?
I've spotted the BS from early on when I had my first child when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
And I'd see things in, I just don't know. I've just always been saying maybe, I don't know what it is. If I know something's wrong, it's wrong. Like, I had really strict parents and my dad used to be always giving us a right good idea after work, you know. And, if it was hitting my brothers and my sisters, I'd be like, leave them alone. Yeah, I could be hitting there. You just sit there. So I was a black sheep for speaking up. Do you know what I mean? Sort of, I've always...
So you've always had an inquisitive, questioning mind.
If something seems wrong, I have to look into it. So sort of when I had my first child, I was 19. And then it was all our parents' magazines and this magazines, and I just used to be well into reading up on stuff. And I just think my child was injured after a certain vaccine, and I thought, pricks my ears up, no smoke without fire. And then I started researching it and buying all these parents' magazines, going to the library and finding things out even then. And from then, kids have never had any.
This is while you were pregnant, you were doing this research?
No, probably when I'd had him.
Okay.
When I had my first son, he had really massive, really bad colic, really bad, and screaming and green poos and everything.
Oh, okay. So you're
just terrible. Oh,
okay. So your son, your firstborn is your son, and so you got him vaccinated?
No, he had the first one, what they ever had then.
Okay.
I can't remember, it's 30 something now. The first one when he was 4 months old, which is nowhere near as much as they have. And he had a really bad reaction, was screaming and crying, really hot, bad temperature. And I thought, it's not right, this. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finding something out then that you shouldn't be like that. That is mild brain inflammation. And from then, I really got into it. He didn't have any more after that.
Oh, great. I mean?
No
okay.
more.
Okay,
didn't
I
have
gotcha.
Any more after that.
So you had one shot, and that set you off on a journey to research and find out,
That set me off on a journey to research.
Okay, I got it. Smart.
Yeah, and then in like sort of like newspaper, when people used to buy newspapers, people used to buy newspapers then, and I always used to like buy magazines, and I remember seeing anything about babies, I'd see, and these put it in then, like, my baby was okay till he had his vaccines.
Oh, wow.
And like, some did from an area near me when they had some vaccine, I can't remember what it was, when I was 13 months old, I don't know whether it's, I don't even think it was the MMR. I don't even think it was eight then. And I just remember the son ended up brain damaged. It was like a cabbage. And I thought, one was enough for me. No, I'm not taking the risk. I'm not playing Russian roulette with my kids.
And, oh, amazing.
So
then you had another child, Hannah?
And then I had Hannah, and she's never had any because all my kids was allergic to cow's milk. And I had found that out to myself because they'd be losing weight. And then they'd go in hospital and the doctors used to give them watered down cow's milk.
Oh, Hannah, did you change anything with your wire? Because we're getting a little static.
Hannah?
No, we're just getting a little static just all of a sudden. I'm just curious if you changed anything. I don't want to lose it.
As I know of.
Okay.
No, she's just gone out the room. Yeah. So, my children, they was like allergic to cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
When they were little, you know what I mean? The powdered formula, what they always used since this shrub. Horrible stomach cramp. You all love?
Don't
start
to put that down.
Oh, sorry, Aaron is just trying to sort me.
Just trying to sort it here. Just a little bit of static on the line. Okay.
Is it still?
Yeah, just a bit. Maybe you're going to have to close this session and go back to Hannah's session over on her phone.
Okay.
Since we're going to talk one at a time because you guys don't have two microphones, well, why don't we just close this session and go use Hannah's session? That way we won't get we're getting a little static on this session. So let me close.
Will do. Okay, fine.
I'll close that one. I don't want to lose a second of this, and I hate bad audio. All right. You're back, Hannah, on your session. All right.
Hi. Gotta get the earphones.
Yeah, plug her in. Plug her in, and that's fine. Hers was going all wonky. So that's a Manchurian accent. Okay. Are Manchester people called Manchurians? Is that
it's Mancunian.
Oh, Mancunian. Oh, right. Yeah. I should know better because we've got a hardcore fakeologist who's based in Manchester. All right.
Just plugging back in. Do you want my mum still?
Actually, I love you both on at the same time, but I think only one person can use the microphone at once. We're just trying to get a little background about how you came to your issue, and we're going to get to all your issues. And we're just trying to get a little background of how you slipped through the cracks of truth or anti-vax mom, which is amazing. You had a huge advantage over most children.
Yeah, I'll plug mum back in then just for a second.
All right, plug mum back in. All right.
Hello?
Yes, yes, hello.
Yeah, so you mean how she ended up in the vaccines? Is that what you mean?
Well, no, I just wanted to get some background. Yeah. So you're a researcher. You had one shot. You saw a bad reaction with your son. That set you down a rabbit hole. And that made you very anti-injection whatsoever. And
anti-being damaged.
Right, of course.
Anti-being damaged or murdered, ending up with autism and,
absolutely. Yeah, so you made the connection.
Because
no one makes the connection online very clear, do they? It's always, well, this vaccine is not really great because it hasn't been tested, but this one we've been doing for 25 years, so we can still use that one. So are you completely anti-vaccine, period, or are you, okay, this one's okay, maybe this one is fine? What's your take?
I think I'm anti all of them now because I don't trust any of the big pharma. Mm-hmm. No, I just anti all of them, be honest with you.
Yeah, please be honest.
Yeah, unless it's...
It's the only...
needed a shot of
It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only position to have as far as I'm concerned.
Just the corrupt and,
But it's not even... even that they're corrupt. It's the actual... so-called science behind it is completely ludicrous. It makes no sense to get a bit of poison to save you from a big poisoning later. That this is a mythological, ancient belief. There's no backing. There's no research behind it. It's literally a belief system.
So, exactly. When I was young, everyone I know had measles, German measles, chicken pox, and it strengthens your immune system. Having those childhood diseases. I know that as well.
Right.
It's just weird, isn't it? The way everything's gone. I'd hate to have young babies now. Oh, God, and the pressure you get to have them, vaxxed and all the others, what's been added to it. And how many, even cot death. It's always after the 4-month vaccine. It's like, even that's...
Yeah, SIDS. We call it SIDS over here. You call it cot death over there.
Yeah, I think they do here, yeah.
Right. So anyway, go ahead, John.
Sorry, go on.
Well, I was just going to jump in here with something. I'm not sure if you're familiar with John Rappaport. He's
yes, I am.
Oh yes.
You like him? Yeah. NoMoreFakeNews.com.
Love him.
He's been writing on the health space for many years, and he's been around as long as Fauci has been over here. So
yeah,
Fauci the psychopath.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to
read you something that he wrote. So,
Ooh, Fauci or Rappaport?
Yeah, this is from John Rappaport. This is, and I could sum this up a little bit more succinctly than him, but I think he puts it well. So he answers the question, isn't a vaccination supposed to be like a rehearsal for your immune system, like practice for some kind of exposure? Here's the way he answers that question. He says, that's what it's supposed to be. It's the idea that the immune system needs to be tuned up for the possible later appearance of the real thing. For a moment, put aside the fact that SARS-CoV-2 doesn't exist, making the need for the vaccine entirely irrelevant. For many who believe in the virus, here's a question. Why does the use of a vaccine as a rehearsal for the real thing make any sense at all? And he goes on to say, if the immune system springs into action against the virus or a virus protein in the vaccine, why wouldn't it also spring into action for the virus when it shows up naturally? In other words, what's the point of the prior rehearsal? Isn't the body already ready for the real thing? Well, it turns out there's a medical answer. Vaccines contain various substances called adjuvants. Their function is to enhance the immune response during the rehearsal, better preparing it for the moment when the real thing comes along. And just as an example, COVID RNA vaccines contain an adjuvant called PEG or polyethylene glycol. I've made the point that there is no significant chemical difference between this and standard automotive antifreeze. However, as many scientists know, PEG can cause dangerous anaphylactic reactions. So that's not good. So why does PEG cause that reaction? Well, because antibodies overrespond to PEG. But if you think it through, the body's immune system isn't being enhanced during the rehearsal called vaccination. It's not the adjuvant PEG causing the immune system antibodies to ramp up against the spike protein in the virus. So what is the what the immune system is attacking here is the adjuvant. Oops, So what good is the vaccine? I put it this way.
I agree 100% with that.
It's akin to vaccinating yourself against an illness is akin to deliberately crashing your car to see if the airbag will work. And that's in the case right. of booster shots, you're just doing this over and over and over again. And I've said to people many times, and this is true, if you go back through all the history of all the vaccines that have ever been used, the only thing that any vaccine has ever accomplished is to cause the disease it was marketed to provide protection from.
Right. And they do say that they're so tricky in the way they manipulate the idea, but that is what they say they're doing. Everything they do, everything they say they're going to do, they do. In other words, they're telling you, we're going to poison you now, and hopefully you won't have such a bad reaction to the poison that it will save you in the end. So it's completely upside down. It's just a poisoning. That's all it is. You're not strengthening your immune system. You are literally testing your body to see if it can cope with poison. And some people can cope with poison better than others. People that are already weakened for all the other things they may have done to their body in the past are going to have a harder time with poison. Just like if I punch a guy that is a bodybuilder in the gut, it's probably going to bounce off him more than if I punch somebody who's never worked out in their life, because he has a level of strength. He has a system that is in 100% strong. So he's going to be able to withstand damage, toxicity better than the average person. So that's why the weak, the people, the elderly, the weak, the compromised, those that are already battling all kinds of other issues, for instance, people that are already on pharmaceuticals, so they're already poisoning themselves anyway, alcoholics, people that smoke, people that are already pounding their bodies with all kinds of toxicity, if they get this extra dose of poison, it's just going to push them over the edge. The body can only take so much. You can only rev an engine for so long.
Yeah.
Really? Well,
can I just tell you about Hannah and her topic? Eczema, asthma and air fever, which I knew she had any vaccines then, she'd be covered in eczema all over her body, which I found that out. So her dad, jab loving dad, is not there, you know, after, what does it cause? Shut the stable door after the horse is bolted.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, so when my daughter was born, she's so beautiful and cute and everything.
Lovely,
and straight away, I give her cow's milk and her stomach, diarrhea, so I put on soy milk and straight away she's fine, putting weight on. But all of a sudden, her dad like a serious air fever, and she got the baby eczema on her face and her head, and it really upset me. So I started looking into that. I don't know how I found it out. I used to do loads of research then, and I found out as she will have a topic, asthma, eczema and air fever, and there's some fault in her blood. So I can't remember what now because it's that long ago. I mean, she's 23 now. And I knew then if she had this 4-month vaccine, she'd end up with eczema all over her body. So that was, I better go give them anyway. But that, I knew. And then I used to see pictures in like magazines where I used to buy back then of like some mother who had the daughter vaccinated on the 4-month vaccines. And then now they had eczema all over them. And I knew my daughter would have been like that. I've just always been on it.
I have asthma. My sister had eczema. I attributed it all to childhood vaccination. But do you think drinking cow's milk, which is for cows and not for human beings?
No, I think like it's in fact a topic, asthma, eczema, and air fever. It's like she gets them all. So she only has it a bit now. Obviously, so when she was a baby, when she was probably about like 18 months old, she had like a real asthma thing. So I took her to hospital and she just stopped having it then. And then she'd get tiny bits of eczema. And then when she got older, she started to get an air fever. You'd get all the like drugs to suppress it off the doctor, but worked out if you suppress one too much, something else come out. So I used to give her a bit of a asthma thing, a bit of an air fever tablets and a tiny bit of the eczema cream every few days. Because if you really went mad on getting about one of them, it pushed something else out. But she's calmed down now, but she's older, but she gets a lot of air fever now, don't you? But she doesn't get any eczema on her body at all now. Do you know what? So atopics means you can get all three and it's something wrong with your blood. I don't know about just asthma on its own, But like I said, the atopics, they're all connected together. Hay fever, asthma.
What do you call it? Atopics?
Eczema. Atopic. Atopic, yeah.
What is? How do you spell that?
A-T-O-P-I-C.
Okay. I've never heard that word. I have asthma.
Yeah.
But it's only because... Yeah. When there's dander from animals around, that sets me off. But I just attribute it to I attribute autoimmunity to anaphylaxis. I really believe in the concept of anaphylaxis, which was discovered over 100 years ago by, I believe, Claude Richet. John, did we talk about that before?
Charles Richet.
Right.
Yeah, he was given a Nobel Prize for his discovery of anaphylaxis. That's what my first book was about.
Right. So would you agree that perhaps... And he couldn't even explain what was happening. But he said once your body is anaphylactic, once the first foreign body gets into your blood, the next time it comes in, your body has no defense against it. And it just starts to go into a shock mode.
He actually understood it fairly well. What he said was that any alien foreign protein that's injected into the bloodstream, like in a vaccine, or that ends up there through some genetic mRNA instruction that is introduced in a vaccine, will be considered an enemy by the body's immune system. And its presence produces a unique hypersensitivity that manifests in humans after an incubation period that takes between 14 and 30 days to complete. During this period, the body learns how to produce a very specific apotoxin that can quite easily be potent enough to kill you. So the first parenteral or injected exposure to any protein will cause this. Once the incubation period completes, a second exposure to any highly similar protein will unleash this potential, and the apotoxin the body produces will cause an anaphylactic response in one of 4 degrees that range from itchiness to death, and the severity of which depends upon how chemically similar the second protein is to the first. So this should not be confused with antibody production. It's not the same thing, and there's no getting around this. This is just basic biology here. Right. And nobody was aware of this fact before Charles Richet discovered it back in 1913, but it's been true since humans first walked the earth. It's still true, and it cannot be disputed.
Right.
Yeah. See, I think with our Anna having a really bad reaction because she has got allergies and hay fever and eczema and asthma, but quite mild because she's never had any childhood vaccines.
Right.
Because
so lucky.
It's like something to do with a fault in your blood if you've got atopic eczema and hay fever. So I think that's why, not just she's in the, was it, how bad is my batch? You know, and some of her friends seem to be okay, but some of them have had side effects on her, aren't they really bad? But not in
but
the
But how did
like
it get
Hannah
into
was.
Her blood? See, I don't think we can just... It just gets into our blood. I think John is absolutely right. It has to be injected. Yeah. I think that's the major part.
Oh, God.
It's the major cause of most illness. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it has to be injected, obviously, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I seriously think if I lived somewhere where there was mandatory, like Canada, I'd be dead because I've got seafood allergy. And I know I've seen a doctor who nearly died because he's got seafood allergy. You know, prawns, cockles, seafood allergy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you in Canada? Well, I thought they mandated there.
No.
So the jabs are mandate.
No. Yeah, really? A mandate is not a law, though. So there's a mandate is not.
You can't go into a cafe. You can't go into a restaurant.
No, right now what's the snake that squeezes you? Right now, the boa constrictor has released.
Yeah, the boa constrictor.
He's released the constrictions now.
But,
right. We're in between. Right. So. We're okay. Canada is going to be the first post-nation state, so they're definitely going to torture us the most until we all comply and get the digital ID, which is sort of the end game here. But
exactly.
We should get the lovely Hannah back on because we did say that she, and I want you to sit by so you can chime in at any time. But
will do.
Let's get her back on because I don't want to waste her time.
I mean, the digital ID, I keep using cash everywhere. I don't know if they'll make it trying.
Yeah, well,
keep trying.
You can keep trying, but this is not going to stop. Trying. This is a tsunami.
I know.
Exactly.
Well, I'll get Hannah back on then.
Yeah, let's get her back on and get her pretty face back on the screen there, and we can Let's work with Hannah and see if we can help her out a bit more.
Hello.
Do you want to put your camera back on?
Yeah. You are. Yeah, I know.
There she is.
Hi.
Hello. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, what a fantastic mother you have. You're so lucky.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Yeah.
Oh. And you're lucky to have met John, because maybe there aren't too many people in the whole world that can do much, because it seems like, tell us about, so you were coerced, you were enticed by, say, your boyfriend and the desire to go to Spain to get the injection. So how hard was it for you to cross that line, knowing your mother is probably sitting on your shoulders saying, don't do it, don't do it?
It was quite hard. Like, It was a weird one. It wasn't really my boyfriend who was telling me to get it. It's just he's basically like, I'm obsessed with him, basically. and I wanted to go on holiday with him. And we've had, obviously, 2 years of lockdown. 1 minute. We've had 2 years of lockdowns and we'd never been on holiday together. And when they mandated the vaccine to go away, I was like, well, obviously I can either not get it and we lose our money, and or I do get it and we go away. So a lot of it was based on like the money we'd spent as well. We'd spent like £1,200. So the actual decision to get the vaccine, I think I was just blinded by the fact that I wanted to have a good time with my boyfriend Lewis, and the fact that we'd never been away together, and rather than actually focusing on like the fact that my mum had sent me all these things, which obviously now I completely regret. At the time, like I said, I was living with my dad, so I didn't have anyone constantly down my ear about the vaccine and the dangers. Whereas when I was living at my mum's, it was so more like constant.
Is that what does your mum? Or before you moved in with you moved with your dad, is that the kind of thing your mom would talk about at the dinner table all the time? Would she bring up her research for the day? Because that's what I do. I'm lucky. Well, my daughters both live at home, and of course they can't stand when I bring up my discussions and my research, because I do this show every day. So I often talk about some of my research for the day. So they usually plug their ears and say la 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 when I'm talking now. But I got to the crazy point that I literally told my daughters, if you do this, I'm going to throw you out of the house. So do you think that's a good thing to actually threaten your children at this point? Cause myself and my wife, we are on the same page, thank God. And it's us against the world when it comes to this. And this is such intimidation from the world. You think it's a...
I would use it as a teachable moment and challenge them to prove you wrong.
Yeah, well... Yeah. You
know, hit the books, hit the research yourself, show them how to research things.
Yeah, well...
I think with you saying, like, you and your wife were, like, fully... It was, like, you two against the world, and that's why your kids haven't had it. I think that because my dad is, like, just, like...
The other way. He's with the world.
The other way.
Yeah, he's with the world.
With
I mean, it's...
my dad...
I almost
and he always wore the masks, even like when I would come in the house, if I'd come, because my mum, my dad, I don't know if you've heard of the scheme that we had in the UK when the offices were closed, but my dad was on something called furlough, meaning he got paid for staying at home.
Right.
So I was the only one leaving the house to go to work and getting the germs. So when I'd come into the house, my dad would like stay away from me and have his mask
goodness,
on and
yeah.
make me get a shower. So like he
Whoa,
was like the complete opposite
wow.
of my mom. Yeah.
Oh my God. Isn't that amazing? That so you got a ton of opposing pressure. So I don't fault you. I almost don't fault your dad, because all these people are mind controlled. And this is a very powerful the powers that be are using all the stops. They're pulling out all the stops to push this through. So when people fall victim to the vaccine, I almost don't fault them, because not everyone is as capable as John and or as your mother or as myself to do the research, or willing to do the research, really.
Or knowing what research is. I mean, I make a big point of this. that, you know, research is not reading mainstream and tabloid headlines. It's not repeating what your friends are saying on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It is actually going into the scientific literature, becoming competent with reading that, surrounding yourself with knowledgeable people when you get stuck to get you unstuck, and then drawing your own conclusions from that. And even there, there's, you know, some pitfalls. A lot of that research is pay to publish type stuff. It's a daunting task, really, to become a real expert in this. But I think, you know, they're doing their best to produce a kind of adult peer pressure that is every bit as, you know, intimidating as the kind of peer pressure we feel in junior high or high school.
Oh, it's worse.
Trying to conform, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's really the same thing.
But getting back to Hannah, so you're getting a lot of propaganda and direct pressure from your father, who I'm sure you respect pretty equally to your mother. I mean, obviously, you're related to him, so it's pretty hard to... And he supports you, and he's financially supporting you, so it'd be very difficult. And then you have your boyfriend, and whatever his point, I'm guessing his point of view is the mainstream point of view as well.
The mainstream point of view, and his mum works for the NHS as well. So it's
so
like,
that doesn't help. the pressure on you is probably overwhelming, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as well, like at the time, the end, middle of 2020, my granddad got stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously that was when like everything was locked down and we couldn't see him. And a lot of the mainstream media at that time was, you need to protect your grandparents. You're going to kill them if you don't get vaccinated. So it was that. I mean, unfortunately, he did end up passing away in December of 2020 and on his own. And we couldn't see him. We had to sneak into the hospice the night before he died for like 2 minutes with him, just because the nurse literally screamed at my nan saying, "You can't have people here," and her husband was dying. And then the nurse was screaming in my nan's face saying, like, "You're gonna kill him," and stuff.
Kill him? He's already almost dead. Jesus.
He's already had stage 4 cancer. And then obviously, I think you'd know what I'm about to say, but on his death certificate, they put that he died with COVID.
Of course. Well,
yeah.
We all have COVID, whether we know it or not, according to them. So it's asymptomatic, symptomatic. It's such horse hockey.
Yeah. So there was just a lot surrounding me. Like all my friends, obviously, were completely just had it, just because it was the norm. Well, the norm for the mass media. Obviously, my boyfriend had it. My dad had it. So it was just. I was just, especially not living with my mum, I was just completely just blinded, I guess, by the desire to go on holiday. And that is why I'm so annoyed at myself, because it's something that's so selfish in my eyes that I've done it. But I guess at the time, I just didn't see it like that. I just thought, oh, I'll just go on holiday. I'll just get it. And I've spoke to a couple of people who just got it to go away. But obviously, luckily, they seem to have come off scot-free.
For sure.
A lot of people I know just got it just to go away. And a lot, I don't really know many people who actually got it because they wanted to. A lot of my friends got it because they were forced by the parents and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sad.
I'm so lucky.
And, like,
I hate
would
traveling.
Make them do, like, the tests. Yeah. Literally. But, yeah, so it's sad that now you don't even need it. And at the time you did, but one of them things.
Okay, so you got the first shot, and John has triangulated down that you got one of the hot shots, which a lot of us researchers, even though this research has kind of gone quiet, I've noticed over the past few months, that we sort of reckon that maybe 5% of all the shots are what they call hot shots, because this is a massive worldwide test, so they're probably testing different things, all the things they've always wanted to test on human beings that they've only been able to use rats and rabbits for. And of course, rats and rabbits don't talk, so it's really hard to get good feedback from them other than to dissect them once you've killed them, and then everything is denatured and changed anyway. So this is if I was in the pharmaceutical business, this is a fantastic time to be alive, because they can test on live people and get feedback instantly. And of course, try and figure out what kills people fastest which is probably,
you know,
yeah, John.
It might be a good time to throw out the tool for searching your batch. Is there's a website that was put up by Craig Partycooper, and it's called howbadismybatch.com.
Okay, let me type it in. I'm going to type it in, and let me just make a quick show note here. One thing I'm going to do going forward, and one thing I've always wished other podcasters would do, is when they give a link to a website like you're about to do, if it's put in the show notes, which I always do, and then numbered. So, for instance, I just put on your fantastic post, John, on your website called estateartistry.com, and I put a link to Hang on Hannah, where you wrote a very heartfelt, wonderful post to Hannah. Did you read it, Hannah, by the way?
I did. It made me cry.
John, you...
I do appreciate, obviously...
John, you are just a tearjerker script writer. Well done, John. So this is good. That is going to be note number one. So if you are listening back now and you want to go to my blog, just go to note number one, and that's the link, so you don't have to really look for it too hard.
It's the blog tab. It's the blog tab on that website. So
no, I know, but that's .com/blog. I know, but that's not going to help in 2 weeks when you make another post. So I have the direct link to it.
That's true.
And the new site you're going to link to is called, what is it? How bad is my
batch? How bad is my batch? .com.
Bad is my batch. .com. So that's going to be link show note number two for all you people listening now. Okay, so you went in, John, and type. It's having a hard time loading. Here it is. Howbadismybatch.com. Wow, what a website. Okay, so you went there,
quite
John.
Quite a lot of information on that.
Good Lord. Hey, go ahead, John. So explain what you did.
Yeah, so the two batches that Hannah Shouts came from, they were FK9712. And FN1664, and that's under the category for outside of the United States. One thing that people should be aware is that the information here is based on a public pharmacovigilance system known as VARIS, a vaccine injury reporting system that is put up by the CDC. So many of these pharmacovigilance systems like Yellow Card and the ones in Canada, you can't get into them as a regular person. You have to log in, and to get that login, you have to be a medical professional. So it's all very difficult. And then a lot of people beat up the information in VARIS for a number of really silly reasons. It's actually very valuable information. And what you're looking at here is anytime a report came up with a lot number attached to it, those were compiled and tabulated, and that's what you're looking at. So if you put in a batch number that you received a shot from and it doesn't appear in any of these lists, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's okay or that it's bad. It just means that it's not there. And it may not be there because the CDC has been actively removing, which, you know, should be illegal, but they're lawless. So they've been removing reports from the system, and they also keep an incredible backlog, probably larger than the entirety of what's there, and they pick and choose what they're going to put into it. So it's a very corrupt system, but one thing that people should be aware of is that this is a sequential list. So as the alpha characters ascend, the toxicity increases. You're looking for the alpha characters in particular, and you can probably find if your particular number is missing where it would have been on that list if it was just plugged in there in sequential order. And from that, you can get a general sense of where the toxicity scale ranking would be for your particular batch. And if you're adept at going in and reading the reports, I know it takes a little bit of practice, but there's some sites that are a little easier than the CDC site that you could do run searches on. You can, you know, peruse those reports, and you can see, you know, if you have anything in common with some of those people, and you can see how some of the doctors reacted to it. And it's all over the map. A lot of these people.
Bless you, Hannah. Know, you sneezed.
Thank you.
Yeah. A lot of these people got poor treatment. Some of them got good treatment. You'll see a few times when the doctor actually acknowledges it as a vaccine injury. So there are reports.
Well, they can't acknowledge it.
They can, but they usually suffer some kind of professional indignity.
That's why I say they can.
And it depends, too, if they're part of a large hospital system or if they're just a GP with their own practice. They have less to lose there than if they, you know, are employed by a major hospital.
Yeah.
I don't think that's any excuse.
I found that when I went to... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I found that when I went to my GP, he was very, very quick on the gaslighting, telling me I was anxious.
It's all in your head, Hannah. Like, it's all in your head, right? Is that what he's going on about? Yeah.
And
you got to bring your boxing gloves to those appointments.
Yeah, that was quite a lot of the doctors that I went to in my just general practitioner, because they are just funded by the NHS, they do just completely ignore you. Well, not ignore you, just literally just fob you off completely. I was quite, I guess, lucky in, I think I mentioned to John that I did get to see a private consultation, consultant neurologist a couple of days ago who, although admitted he probably won't be able to help me, did admit that it was due to the vaccine, which I guess is better than gaslighting me and telling me it's all in my head.
It's totally amazing that you found someone that actually was daring enough to say the words that that we cannot say around the entire world. So that would be amazing to hear, have a doctor that, you know, he's... Because these doctors are just as afraid as anybody else. A, because they have a huge investment in the system. To be kicked out of the system would just put them right on the street, literally, because they have high expenses. But they have their own office. Yeah. And they don't know who you are. Unless they don't know who you are because you could be an agent of the state. They've created this huge paranoia system where we don't know. We don't trust each other anymore. We don't know whose side you're on. So, Hannah, you could be faking it just to trap the doctor. There's just so many things that would go through the average person's head, and it's just a perfect system of coercion. And this, of course, is how Eastern Germany existed for so long, and just was in this state of fear the whole time.
Yeah, let's not forget that those guys went to trial at Nuremberg and they were found guilty, and all those doctors that are just looking out for themselves, they are just like those Nazi guards at the concentration camps that just stood up there and said, hey, I'm just following orders, I'm just doing my job.
Well, if they didn't, they'd be shot. Wrong. What would you do? I think it'd be pretty easy. If you don't follow orders, you're gonna be on the wrong side of the prison of the line in prison. You're gonna be in prison. Garb as well. So it's
I don't have any sympathy for them. I think they're all complicit in this, and they're just equally
guilty.
I really don't
have any sympathy for the not sympathy, empathy. So we have to understand. Okay, you're a doctor. You're getting paid by the NHS. They've given you a script. So they have given your doctor probably had a script. So if someone comes in saying they think it's the vaccine, then this is what you tell them.
Knowing what you know about it, you're going to go ahead and inject somebody with this. I'll tell you what they did down in Australia, a lot of them.
I think a lot of the doctors aren't doing the injecting, though. They get other people in parking lots to do it. So those people,
they're going to come for them eventually, too.
I know we're going to come for that. They're going to become for eventually when everyone figures it out. And that's one of the reasons I wanted Hannah on the show. I need people, you need people like Hannah to tell their story and not cower in fear and be intimidated into thinking they're nuts. Because that would be far worse if I got poisoned and then you tell me I'm nuts and that's why I'm having all these problems. But we're telling Hannah, no, we're on the side. We know what's going on. We understand. We've done the research. I've been researching for 10 years. Your mother's been researching for 25 or 30 years. John has been researching. We know what's happening. None of us are nuts here. We understand what's happening. We understand it's a chronic poisoning or outright murder of the people that are more vulnerable in society. We get it. We're being run now by hospitalers and eugenicists, and they have a mission to get rid of the people that have any kind of sentience and replace them with people that are not sentient and willing slaves. I mean, it's a crazy thing to even talk about, but there are large grains of truth in what we're talking about. So we're here to tell Hannah, no, you're not nuts. No, you're not crazy. And John is going to give you some kind of protocol where we can somehow use the model that you have poison in you and you have to somehow detox. You have to somehow get it out of your body and then you're going to be fine. Well, that's what we're doing here today.
That's what we're attempting. But we also, due to the severity of Hannah's issue, we have her going in for some very specific brain scans. I've got a neurologist standing by look over those results with me because, you know, having read about 20,000 of these reports myself, I'm familiar with the outcomes for a lot of patients based on their symptomology. Mm-hmm. So. It is a serious situation going on, but we're trying to mitigate it as best we can. And we really want to know for sure if, that is, you know, a probable or even possible outcome, that, you know, could result in a brain aneurysm of some kind. So, what we need to do, you know, is we need to have, some scans done of her brain. We need to have some qualified people look over it. And my medical team is standing by. I've been talking with them continuously since Hannah and I met. So everybody's providing some feedback and we're all working behind the scenes here. And I think, Hannah, you even got some A-list emails, didn't you, from a few people?
A-list, wow.
Yeah, you mean I did.
Who'd you get them from? I sent you one. I'm not A-list.
Yeah, you sent me one. I had one from John's mum, which was really nice.
Yeah, from Judy Mikovits too.
Yeah, I did. I've had about seven.
That's it?
Todd, Dr. Judy.
Come on, guys. Give Hannah an email. I'm going to put Hannah's email. Her address is Hannah with an H on the front and the back, and Astrid@gmail.com. And that's going to be link number 3 in my show notes. See how I'm doing that, John? I'm putting links. So link number 3 is Hannah's email. Click on that and send her an email with your support because you're going to be the first success story that John is going to put all over his webpage.
So We're hoping.
No, but listen, you're young. Your body is strong. Other people have been poisoned before. As long as you go on a decent protocol of something, whatever John comes and feed your body, and mostly mentally get past this, I think you're going to be just fine. That's what I think.
Thank you.
You're going to be just fine. You got the whole world on your side. You're going to be John's model case. You're going to be the model for success. Right, John?
Right.
So...
Thank you.
You got the whole damn world on your side. I can understand if you didn't know John and you weren't getting your message out and you didn't have a mother that knew what she was talking about, then I would worry about you. I really worry for the children that are being served up to Moloch by their parents for this child sacrifice. But you on the other hand, have all kinds of people on your side. So I would say don't be down and just stay around people that know what they're talking about. If that means avoiding your father or even your boyfriend, God forbid, you just have to expose yourself to people that understand what's happening because they don't.
You're going to get a lot of crazy advice in your email now that it's out there. So just keep a sensible head about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us. So you took the first shot. What happened after the first shot? If anything.
So, I got the first one on the 22nd of, the first one is when I think I got the worst kind of
reaction.
I don't know, the worst dose, I guess, and it got exasperated by the second. Mm-hmm. The first one, I can't really remember the actual initial day.
Mm-hmm. Well, roughly when was it?
But
this is June 2022. When approximately was it?
It's the 22nd of December 2021, I got
it. Okay, gotcha.
And so I remember that night I went out and got really drunk with my friends. And so I didn't really think about any like sort of symptoms, like the flu like symptoms or anything like that.
Now that would be the first thing I would.
The very
You know, isn't it amazing? You get this toxic injection and they should tell you, listen, you should just rest. But the first thing they should say is don't take any kind of depressant, which is, of course, what alcohol is. So don't lower your body's ability to respond to poisoning. You know, so you go ahead and get drunk. So you've lowered all your body's capabilities by doing so. So, okay. So,
well, you know, if I can jump in here for just 1 second. Alcohol actually stimulates the production of myeloperoxidase, which does degrade graphene in the body. So it wasn't the worst choice you made. And down there in South America, one of the things, because they know this, that they told people exclusively in, say, Argentina. I know this because I have a researcher in Argentina. They told them, when you get your COVID vaccine, definitely don't smoke and definitely don't drink. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, there's something there. So sure enough, we go in there and we find that nicotine and alcohol actually has a positive benefit.
So I stand corrected, Hannah. Even the fakeologists are going to be correct. Okay. So you did good. So you got drunk.
I got drunk, and then the very next day, so the 23rd, I noticed that my hair was falling out.
What?
And I've always been like
hair?
I've always been cautious of my hair because I've bleached it a lot. So I just thought it was down to that, really. So then that was kind of upsetting me. And then obviously 2 days later was Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day should be a joyous day. It always is in our family. And I spent the whole day not being able to drink because I was on the verge of a panic attack all day. And I had a panic attack in front of my mum and brother and burst out crying. And I couldn't think why. And just completely on edge all day.
Have you had panic attacks before?
Then the next 2 weeks, no. Never. And the next 2 weeks I spent basically having tinnitus, eyesight loss, weight loss, and I couldn't eat my Christmas dinner, and just basically just not feeling right. I broke down to my boyfriend and my dad at the time, and basically was saying that, like, I've ruined my life, I feel really unwell. But obviously I didn't tell my mum because I was scared that she would kill me for getting the vaccine. So my dad then didn't tell my mum that I'd had it. So I decided to go to the doctors on the 3rd of January, telling them that I know I've had like an adverse reaction. I don't feel well at all. They did blood tests and they said that the blood test would come back in a few days. It had been a week and they hadn't contacted me. So I had to ring them and they said I was deficient in vitamin D. So I was like, okay. So then I started taking some vitamin D supplements. And then another 3 weeks later, they sent me another email saying that something else had come up on my blood that didn't come up the first time, that I was deficient in iron. But I don't know why that they took 4 weeks to tell me that. So then I started taking iron supplements, and I also booked a test, but then they said that if it was for blurry vision, they can't do anything. It's just for your actual quality of your sight. So then anyway, sort of towards after my birthday, which was the 6th of January, I'd started feeling normal again, kind of just put it to the back of my head, and I actually did feel fine. End of January, I, in the night, started getting really, really thick mucus, like phlegm in my throat, and I'd wake up and not be able to breathe and have to cough up this like green, it sounds disgusting, but it was like green and yellow mucus, and it was every single night that I was in my room. And because it wasn't when in the day, I put it down to something in my room. So I was googling like, am I allergic to my memory foam mattress? And I was seeing like,
memory foam mattress poisoning. That's funny.
Yeah. So literally, because in my head, obviously, I'd completely forgot about the illness that I had from the vaccine because I was essentially fine from all the other symptoms and was just getting this. So I was texting my mum, who obviously at the time didn't know I was vaccinated, and I was saying, "Mum, I think I'm allergic to my mattress topper. I'm getting really unwell in the night. I can't breathe. I'm getting like mucus, like cups of it, like literally milliliters of it coming out of my system constantly." And she was like, yeah, because obviously she didn't know that I'd been vaccinated. So she was like, yeah, it could be. And things were coming up, like chemicals can come from your mattress hopper. Anyway, that kind of subsided after a couple of weeks as well. So then I just kind of forgot about that. I'd say beginning of February, I started getting really, really deep night sweats. So like I was sleeping still fine, but I'd maybe like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., I'd wake up and my whole bed would be completely soaked through with sweat, like through to my mattress. So I'd have to change my sheets every single night. But my skin was cold to touch. So I'd just have like a soaked bed, but cold. So that was weird. And then got my second dose on the 16th of February, like an absolute idiot. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, I was going to wonder why. Because you immediately identified the first dose as the problem at Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, this is what I don't understand. I think part of me was thinking, well, I've already had the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be I got it just to go away. And if I don't get the second one, it's like I've had the first one for no reason. It was a really stupid, not logical way of thinking.
Where were you living at the time when you're having these bad reactions, with your dad or your mom?
With my dad.
So your mom didn't know about any of this stuff?
No.
Oh,
she didn't know
goodness.
About any of that, no.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got the second one. Obviously, I told my dad, and he didn't tell my mom as well that I'd been ill. And then the night of my second dose, I got really unwell, really feverish. So I was really hot to touch, but freezing. Mm. And I had a really big headache and I was like crying. I was staying at my boyfriend at the time and I was really upset, saying like, I'm really unwell. And then I had painkillers the next day. I went to work and I was literally felt completely fine the next day. Like nothing apart from like obviously being tired from not sleeping much from being unwell in the night. I was fine. Anyway, the rest of February was fine. And then went to Tenerife in Spain on the 3rd of March. Had the best time, no illness, no reaction, sleeping fine, drinking. Came home on the 8th of March, like on top of the world. No regrets about anything, no vaccines on my mind. And then it was the 24th of March, I just couldn't sleep one night. Which isn't like me. I sleep like 9-10 hours usually. So I was like, that's annoying because I'm tired now and I was going to work. And then the next night, couldn't sleep. 3 weeks, couldn't sleep. So I'm buying like lavender and books and masks and podcasts and meditation apps and CBD and everything to try and get me to sleep, and nothing was working. So then I slipped into like a really deep, like depressive state, but it wasn't like a normal, oh, I'm sad. It was like, I'm really down and empty. So I was like, maybe I need some therapy. At this point I was going back and forth with my GP and they were prescribing like, drowsy antihistamines and stuff, but like nothing was working. So then I paid quite £65 for like an hour sessions of therapy, and I was going and she was asking me like, what is it that's getting you like this? And I couldn't answer because I didn't know. There was nothing getting me down. My brain wasn't functioning properly. There wasn't anything. I couldn't answer the questions she was asking me because there was no cause and effect. So then after two sessions I realized that it was making me worse, because she was trying to say like, she was just saying things that like were playing on my mind, and because my mind was obviously getting completely mangled by the vaccine, I just couldn't carry on with the therapy because I knew it was making me worse. So I stopped that, and then my heart started beating really fast. So I thought, oh, it's... I didn't gaslight myself to think, oh, it's anxiety, but I was getting severe anxiety symptoms because of the vaccine, so my heart was beating really fast. So I went and bought these things called calms, which are meant to, like, calm your heart rate. So they didn't work, obviously. And then my memory's gone a bit fuzzy now, but I think from then it was more so like my brain just completely was just switching off. I had to leave work. I just burst out crying all the time. I couldn't sleep. And I started getting like blood pools in my legs, which is basically like massive red patches of skin, and it's blood pooling under my skin, and it goes really hot, and I can't move my legs, basically. I get like really bad muscle spasms and muscle jerks. I get really high tinnitus. It's constant now. My vision problems, I can't see out my left eye at all now, really. I can't concentrate. I can't put mum, I know. She's trying to tell me things because
she's got the big list in front of her.
I can't remember things 10 minutes. I can't remember anything from this morning now. It's 2 p.m. here, and I can't remember if I've even eaten today. I can't laugh. I can't enjoy anything. I just black out. It's just snowballed from there, really.
Wow.
For all intents and purposes, you can think of anaphylaxis as inflammation. So what this means is, in the case of these Pfizer shots, is you're being asked to get 2 shots, in most cases 21 days apart.
Yeah.
So single shot vaccines are not any safer, but at 21 days, you're right in the middle of that incubation range for anaphylactic hypersensitivity. So half of all the people doing this will have some form of anaphylactic response. And trust me, this includes every named and observed side effect of the COVID vaccines. They're all inflammatory responses and diseases, which include inflammatory symptomology, every last one. So for those people who experience paralysis or tremors, the inflammation is in the brain or the nerve tissue. For those who are getting injection site rashes, they're not simple allergic reactions that can be dismissed as benign. That is second degree anaphylaxis. When people die, that's fourth degree anaphylaxis, presenting as any number of causes with their own medical names. But if this vaccine kills someone, that happened because they already had a previous sensitizing exposure to something in that formulation, and that second protein exposure unleashed the resultant apoptoxin, causing a lethal anaphylactic shock reaction. That is the sequence of events every time it happens. And at the time I wrote my first book, there were over 10,000 confirmed reports of exactly that. Now the actual number is vastly higher.
So how do we detox Hannah? Because she's obviously has the toxin in her, and it's causing, I would call it what Dr. Andrew Molden called it, envascular ischemia, where you've got this toxin that's gone to the envascular areas of her body and are causing all these, or manifesting as all these symptoms that she's describing. How do you get the poison out? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I could send you a slide you can throw up there if you want, but yeah. in my book, and you know, my approach to this was homeopathy, mm-hmm. mostly. I'm not a fan of pharma, as most people know, and most people agree with. My goal here was to try to detox the body as naturally as I could. So there's about 6 critical substances that are natural substances, like vitamins that will do a specific job, and then there are a few optional ones that will help certain people, particular brands. For example, the Janssen Vax includes EDTA, which drastically lowers calcium, so you have to replace some of that for the people that took that vaccine. But there are also 2 prescription medications, and one is hydroxychloroquine and the other is ivermectin. So when we're talking about the vitamins, the things on my list include alkalizing strategies. So you want just make your own baking soda capsules is the easiest way to do this. And take a bunch of those every day, no more than 2 teaspoons. You want vitamin D3, typically high dose 5,000 IU gel capsules, because this gives the spike proteins being produced, it slows it down. It gives it more of a job to take over a cell. So cell death is caused when they're covered in these proteins and they plug up all the ACE2 pathways and the cell can't get any nutrients in, basically experiences cell death after that. So we're buying time with the vitamin D3. If you get to it early enough, monolaurin is what I recommend, because this is a huge one. This destroys lipid nanoparticle envelopes. These are the little bubbles that contain all the genetic sequences that turn your cell into spike protein factories. So monolaurin takes for that. It also works as good as an antibiotic for taking care of sniffles and flus and things like that. So you can steer away from antibiotics usually for typical colds and flus with just a couple of days of monolaurin. N-acetylcysteine or NAC works in combination with a couple of other vitamins. So botanical vitamin C is not ascorbic acid. It is the whole molecule. And if you combine that with NAC, that stimulates the production of glutathione, and glutathione detoxes graphene oxide, which is primarily the solution in here that is causing a lot of the toxicity. If you combine NAC bromelain, that combination inhibits spike protein binding, yeah, and it also helps to break up blood clots.
Yeah. Hey, John, you got a huge protocol. Can we, Hannah? What are you taking? What are you eating? What are you drinking? What are you doing now to help yourself? Because John can go on for the rest of the show describing his protocols, and they're fantastic. But what are you doing? What have you done?
So I've been following John's protocol. So I've got the NAC.
Okay, here we go.
The botanical vitamin C.
Wow. Okay.
Got the bromelain.
Wow. Okay.
What else have I got? I did get the monolaurin as well.
Yeah. I got all that too, by the way.
And I've been making my own.
Go ahead.
I've been making my own capsules with the sodium bicarbonate. Oh, can you see that?
Yeah. Beautiful.
I take omega-3 as well, just for my brain, and also like the elderberry. Elderberry.
What do you eat though, besides vitamins? What do you have? What are you eating in the day?
Don't say McDonald's.
The diet's a bit of a strange one. Like, obviously, you do get like contradictory things. I've had a lot of people message me with like, go vegan, go veggie, go low histamine. I've been trying to just kind of eat healthy, like just meat and salad and whole grain sort of wraps and bread. That's sort of all I've been, and a lot of like salmon. Just kind of trying to follow like a healthy, normal diet, really. Mm-hmm. It's been like kind of hard to like decide what was best for me, to be honest. Like I said, you do get a lot of contradictory
things. Do you drink or smoke?
Yeah, I do drink. I did stop drinking at the beginning because I thought that was making me worse, and then John did say about like you can have moderate like alcohol, so then I just thought, you know, try and have at least a normal life. I'll go to the pub with my friend. Well, I'm a lot worse than I was a few months ago, but like I did like force myself to go to the pub with my friends and have a few beers and smoke a bit, but yeah, not like I don't excessively smoke or drink or anything like that.
Yeah, the gist of my protocols was just to come up with pharmacological countermeasures. So it's like poison antidote. They're known as logical drugs. For everything that has a toxic relationship with the body, there is something that will counteract it in the normal pharmacopoeia that is natural. And so those were the selections that I offered. And the only two that have additional benefits were, like I said, hydroxychloroquine, taking that early on because They help the lysosomes in the body. They're garbage men. They help clean up stuff that shouldn't be there. And the ivermectin probably, you know, I won't go into it here, but it has multiple positive effects. It takes care of the vaccine-induced AIDS. It takes care of the propensity to develop new cancers and for old cancers to come out of remission. And it kills 22 known parasites and everything that's parasitical in the vaccines. There's plenty of parasites in these vaccines.
Hannah,
I did take a week of the ivermectin as well.
Yeah. Do you think it made any difference?
It's really hard to tell.
I know. Well, you're doing so much. It's really... So did you say you're getting worse? Is that what you said? Do you think you're going?
Hannah has a condition where she's experiencing a lot of cognitive issues and neurological symptoms. So these neuropathies are caused by the spike protein eroding away the myelin sheaths on her nerve tissues. It's basically trying, the way I described it to her was, it's kind of like you have electronics in your body because everything, all your nerves, they run on electrical impulses.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you strip the myelin sheaths off of that, it's kind of like
they short circuit
the insulation off the wire. So yeah, there's all these little shorts that happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's what happens. And that's what autism is, where all the cranial nerves, I believe, that control all your functions in and around your head, which is just about everything. When they short circuit, especially in a small child, my goodness, they cannot communicate, period, because all their wiring is frazzled. And how do you repair that? I have no idea.
Well, it takes time. It's something that, you know, is progressive. You got an enormous poisoning here. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to attack it as, strongly as we can. But this is no quick fix. It takes probably about 3 months to get all the graphene oxide out of your body naturally. And there's no unnatural quick fix way to do it. There's no drug that's just going to automatically reverse this that you're going to be able to find. So, you know, it does take a little bit of time to do its job. But in the meantime, what we're most concerned about with Hannah is trying to get, her head examined with some sophisticated equipment and see if there's anything going on in there that, you know, we need to address quickly, because I've seen fist-sized clots pulled out of brain tissue in forensic pathology due to this vaccine. There'll be something growing in there that we just got to know about right away. And if there's something that needs to be done surgically, that needs to be done. But you don't know unless you look. So we're trying to look right now.
Okay. So how long have you been on John's protocol?
How long do you reckon, Mom? How long have I been on John's protocol? I don't remember.
Since I'm a bit
shoot.
A few weeks, maybe.
Like, I can check when I first email.
Are you feeling any differently, or you still think you're going the wrong way?
It's kind of only been since like the middle of June, so I guess I've not really given it enough time. It's like obviously only the 1st of July, so I've only really been like 3 weeks, I guess.
Right.
I can't just because I feel like my brain is going worse. But I don't think I've given it enough time personally. I really don't. 3 weeks isn't a long time, really.
Hannah, have you started on the dimethyl sulfoxide at all?
No, I've not started on that. No.
Okay, we need to. You need to take a look at that too, because one of the things about DMSO is it's a magnificent remover of garbage. Let's just put it that way. It's almost like a sentient substance. It's amazing.
How do you take that?
It just knows.
That's one thing I don't have is DMSO. And I know Amanda Vollmer, who's another Canadian. I don't know if you've heard of her, Hannah. Maybe you should try and reach out to her. She's fantastic, and she pushes DMSO quite a bit.
Yeah, I actually had a private call with Amanda Vollmer, and she helped me write the DMSO chapter in my book.
Oh, nice.
So that came directly from her.
So what is DMSO? Is it a powder or is it a pill? What is it?
Well, the FDA classifies it as an industrial solvent, if right. you can believe that.
Right.
But it is, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people really know a whole lot about how it works or why it does what it does. Amanda is far more knowledgeable than I am on it. You know, I cover it in a very cursory way in my book because Amanda, was given a, I found out she was given a symposium that had to do with, treating vaccine injury with DMSO. And of course, she's the author of the book, Healing with DMSO. Now, I have this book and I've read through it and it is fairly detailed because, it is a very strange substance. I mean, you get it in a tincture bottle. So it'd be like a glass bottle with special caps. What DMSO basically does is when you put it on your skin, it makes your skin permeable to most topical, types of medications, even things that aren't meant to be topical. Your body will just absorb it right through the skin. So you have to be a little careful with it. You don't want this stuff on your hands when you're going out and changing the oil in your car or anything. You can have a bad reaction. But it ferries toxins out of the body. It just, chelates and grabs onto, whatever shouldn't be there. And it sends it on, it sends it packing. So typically this is, some of the, effects that people don't like about it. It gives you, you know, bad breath. It makes you stink sometimes. It just depends on how toxic you are. I've used it for years and it's a wonderful pain reliever. It actually is as clinically strong as morphine. But you have to use it properly in specific types of dilution. So, typically you dilute it with distilled water and a 20% solution. That's 20% DMSO, 80% water. You take this, combination and I would put it in an old, squeeze bottle. And whenever I had an ache or a pain or a cut or a scrape or something like that, it would heal 70% faster and most of the aggravating symptoms that I would experience, things like pain, they just go away instantaneously. I mean, it's just a magnificent substance, just truly wonderful.
So it's just it's just a solution of water that you just
water and
you
water
just
and
wipe
DMSO
it on your skin and, or anywhere on yeah, your skin or
you
on
don't
your
even,
feet
yeah,
or
I mean there are other ways to take it. Obviously, there are IV protocols that, you know, I recommend people do with adequate supervision, but you can drink the stuff in certain dilutions. I've tried that. It doesn't taste good. I'll just tell everybody that right away. It's kind of like drinking pain thinner. It's awful. But, you know, you can put it in something like tart cherry solution or something like that and take the taste away. It just takes something very, very strong because I used to have to pop a muffin after I'd drink a shot of it because I couldn't keep it down. It's just that bad. But I completely handled some rheumatoid arthritis with it, made my gout go away. I mean, it's just amazing stuff. It's a vasodilator too. So, all the people that are having blood clotting issues, this makes your vessels a little bit bigger so they can accommodate a little bit more blood flow, increasing blood flow to an area, speeds healing. So there's a whole multitude of things. And this particular, attribute of it or benefit of it, can completely remove the typical symptoms you have following a serious stroke. So myocarditis sufferers, they're stroking out everywhere. If they were prepared for this eventuality or possibility and were put on a DMSO drip, they wouldn't have that typical paralysis or cognitive impairment or any of those things that you typically see with severe stroke victims. Wow. So, you know, we can ward off an awful lot of stuff with us. So it's just all about taking it the right way and less is more in the case of DMSO. You don't want to overdo this. It's not the kind of thing where you take a little bit, so maybe a lot more is good. No, it doesn't work that way at all. So you have to be very knowledgeable about it, but you can't, you can't really discount the benefits of it. And typically anything good for you like that, the FDA is going to jump all over it. And that was one of the first things that made me look at it really closely. And then I found Amanda and now I can tell you I'm a big proponent of DMSO. I think it's just wonderful stuff.
Well,
With the DMSO, John, obviously with you saying like you put it on particular parts of your body, but obviously because mine's like kind of, I can't really pinpoint where to put it, would you suggest taking it orally or?
Say that again?
How should she take it? Because she has a brain.
Yeah.
She thinks it's a brain issue. Is that right?
Yeah.
Does she take it orally?
There's also the blood flow issue. So, you know, you were diagnosed with postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. All right. Basically sticky blood, they said. All right. So that's kind of a cop out on the medical side. That's vaccine blindness right there. But, you can't, I mean, this syndrome, by the way, is what happens symptomatically when somebody stands up really quick and then they get dizzy and they might pass out or fall down, something like that. So, you know, it's fairly common. It's a condition of low blood pressure, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what you're trying to do with DMS, though, there as a vasodilator, you're increase blood flow a little bit, try to lessen some of that symptomology. This is getting, you know, a little bit on the edge of some of my expertise here. So I'm going to defer to people who, you know, on my team, they're a little more knowledgeable about this than I am. But one of the things that I can tell you is that for the detoxing strategy, even if all you did was take a 20% solution and if it didn't irritate your skin too bad, just, you know, rub it on any place, really. Usually the palms or the hands of the feet are where you're going to have the most absorption. So that's a good place to spread it around. But there's no bad effects to DMSO. There's no downside to it at all. Mm.
Yeah.
And did you get a D-dimer test, a D-dimer blood test? Which is the...
Yeah, I did.
And what did that show?
You know, we're still waiting on those numbers, Hannah.
Yeah, I know. I do need to get them. My GP basically just put back all normal.
Yeah, see, this is a problem with doctors, and I've told Hannah this as well. Say, you know what? I'm not here to get your opinion. I'm here to get my test results. So I want those test results. I want actual numbers. I want to know the lab that did them.
Right, right.
And
so you haven't got them back yet? You haven't got the numbers back from the D-dimer?
No, they literally didn't send me. They just put normal, the word normal.
But a lot of the time I don't get many tests, but I've seen blood tests where they put the range and then they put your number. So you can, so it's their acceptable range. And yeah, so I'm just curious if...
Healthy individuals have D-dimer levels less than 0.5 micrograms per milliliter of blood. People with COVID vaccine injury typically have D-dimer levels that are 10 times lower. And you can't trust your doctor to just tell you, oh yeah, it's safe, it's in a range, it's normal, or anything like that. You have to know what the reading was. And you have to know, it helps to like make fun of or you know, combat this vaccine blindness in the medical profession by telling them, listen, I know what a proper D-dimer level is, and you're telling me this is normal. Where is your benchmark? You know, you have to aggressively combat vaccine blindness with these people. There's just no way around it.
Well, if you get the raw numbers, then you can just show John, and then he can make a determination based on his research. That's what I would do.
Yeah, definitely. I'm
get the raw data.
You know, and a D-dimer is something that needs to be done more than once because typically, you know, there's this condition out there they're labeling capillary leak syndrome. And this is just a way of saying that the tiniest vessels in your body are leaking, and you know, the D-dimer is not really going to pick that up because what the D-dimer does is it detects fibrin, and fibrin is that clotting it's a clotting agent, shows up in new clotting. That's why you take it, because we're not looking for a standard that is in your body. We're looking at some change. So taking a D-dimer test, say 30 days apart, is going to show you if that condition is getting worse.
What did mom want?
She just said that Irby said that maybe the protocol is not working because I was a bit late starting it.
Right. Well, let's not take the approach that it's not working. Let's say that it's working as it does. You know, this is, like I said, it's not an instant fix. It's going to be something that, you know, works over time. We're just hoping that it has enough of an effect to mitigate some of the problems that you're experiencing. It'd be much worse if you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, are there any, do homeopaths even exist in your area of the world these days? Because I know they've been sort of squeezed out everywhere. Have you sought one out?
No. Not been able to, no.
You know, you should go to AFLDS and, you know, talk to somebody over there and ask for a referral that's in your area.
What's AFLDS?
What does that stand for? that's the group of anti-vaxxer doctors that all got together and you know, run by Simone Gold, AFLDS. So, look into their website and talk to some people there. There's a lot of ones that'll just give you telemedicine. Yeah. There's lots of phone numbers.
I wouldn't give up.
Is that just America or is that the UK? Sorry, as well.
That's an international group. It's all over the world. They have somebody in every region.
Everyone is fighting this. It's like the people of the UK are any different from anywhere else. So you're just gonna have to find the others. Just like we go find the others that know what we're talking about. Unfortunately, you have to do
America's frontline doctors. That's America's frontline doctors.
Yeah. You're just going to have to make this your full-time job to get better because no one in the main system is going to help you, because that's a great term that John came up with, vaccine blindness. How can I help you if we'll not acknowledge what caused the damage? Hey, we're all fighting this, and you just happen to get the unlucky lottery ticket, the reverse lottery ticket, and you're going to have to make it your full-time job. And I think you're going to get through it personally, mainly because you're young. Your body has a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And really, it's just going to be psychological at this point to try and overcome all the physical things that are happening to you. And I feel bad for you. My youngest daughter was diagnosed in the middle of this as a type 1 diabetic, which I think is all from vaccine injury. Yeah. So, you know, she's got a huge issue to deal with every single day of her life. And I'm a witness to it. And it's, and the worst thing that she tells me that I can do is say, I feel so bad for you. She said, don't keep saying that. She says, tell me what a great job I'm doing staying healthy and alive. And that is true. So she's actually teaching me what to do. And the same goes for you. If you are, if you have this syndrome, which is caused by poisoning, then it's going to have to be your job to just try and overcome it and stay alive. And I'm pretty sure that eventually the poison's got to work its way out of your system one way or the other.
One thing I'd like to remind you, Hannah, of is you got an email from Todd Callender. Okay, so he told you about Truth and Health Foundation and Dr. Lee Vallee over there. You know, I would look into that organization and see, you know, what they might be able to do to help you. I've spoken with Dr. Lee Vallee a few times, and she was on this little private club that Todd Callender put together that included me and some, you know, some high dollar names, let's just say. And, you know, we would talk offline for a little bit and kind of decide what we wanted to make a big about, and we'd all go off and do our speeches and such. But she's very knowledgeable, and because you're connected with me the way that you are, you could probably send her an email, and I can give you her direct email.
Yeah, I will do that, definitely.
Yeah, I think you got a good team, and you know, if you can pull through this and if you can make yourself an example of success, don't just think of yourself, think of the other people that have similar situations that are injured that have no idea what to do. You are completely connected. Yeah. Can you imagine if your mother was the same as your father and she was just completely, think of how difficult, much more difficult it would be in that situation. So now you've got your mother, you've got John, and I do think health is at least 50% mental. So if you will yourself to get better, then you will get better. And you are young. You have so much to look forward to. You have the knowledge. And now you're getting... You know, we're not doctors. John is not a doctor. But in the area that he researches, not too many people are doing that because there's no money in it. There's no big system that promotes it. So you're really, we're really in sort of just more ignored territory. So if you can forge ahead and you can forge a path that others and be successful, can you imagine what a role model you'll be? Because let's face it, you just said all your friends have been poisoned. Now they're okay because they didn't get the hot shot, but this isn't over.
Yeah.
This is not over at all. This is an ongoing war.
It is
for God's
interesting.
Sake.
I have been asking like all my friends and the batch numbers, and a lot of them had batches that were like double my adverse reactions, and some had deaths reported, which mine touch wood didn't.
Right.
But like a lot of my friends had ones that were way higher up than me, but had any reactions as of yet. So I don't know.
It's hard to say. A lot of them are ticking time bombs because this is a slow burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't prove that they're hot lots either. We can just look at statistics. So
they don't really lie though, Ab. I mean,
yeah. But does everyone that gets a hot shot get sick? Because if they don't, then it just means something else. There's more to it, is what I'm saying. It's not that simple.
The incidence of death and permanent disability is 3,000% higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just the eye disorders that Hannah's complaining. 3,000% higher in just across the board with COVID vaccine recipients. But those hot lots, that 5% or so that have a special booger tossed in them, those are wreaking havoc with those people. So they're much harder to treat. They're much harder to get to in time. But we can do what we can do, right?
We're trying. And are we giving you any kind of hope or inspiration at all? Does this attention does it help you, or does it just make you feel worse? What's your reaction?
No, it helps me because I know that I'm not just fighting it alone, even though obviously I do feel the way I feel and it's going to be but it does. I did send John a worrying email the other day, and I had a really worrying day. I was just going to just give up because of how bad my head is. But then kind of being, especially like with my mum and talking to John and people who are going through the same thing, it does, because I think I'd be miles, miles worse if like there was no one helping me, there was no one recognising it at all. But like I've managed to get through to my boyfriend at least now, because he thought it was all in my head. Not all in my head, but he thought I was sort of reading about it and making myself worse.
It's important to be aware, as aware as you possibly can be, of just everything, good and bad. But you know, from a personal standpoint, remember that the general is not the specific. So you could be the exception to the rule as easily as you could join the rest of the club. So let's just be aware of what we should be concerned about with proper priorities and do what we can do.
And it's strange as well, obviously, because I took, John has a very good way with words, and he's obviously said like, make this your power and your hobby, and it kind of is now. It's like all my research is, all my time is spent researching this and looking into it. And when I do talk to my friends about it, and which is kind of all the time now, I get things from them about how they've been feeling. So like most of the people that I've spoke to, even if they've not been as bad as me, have had something. Like Lewis, my boyfriend, he has severe wrist pain. He used to be really into the gym and weightlifting, and now he's got a bit better now, but a couple of months ago he couldn't even make a piece of toast because he can't use his wrist.
So your boyfriend was injured too, you figure?
Yeah, so Lewis got the booster January, and he was always a weightlifter, always really trim and fit, went to the gym for 2 hours every single day, and he got to the point where he couldn't even make a piece of toast because his wrists are that sore, and his feet.
And what did he attribute that to at the time?
At the time, when it first happened, I'd say in January and February, I, even though I'd been injured at that point, obviously my symptoms were subsiding. So he was just going to the doctors and stuff and trying to do these exercises, physio, but they were making it worse because obviously it's not an injury that he's done physically. It's something that's in there.
It's a poisoning.
So the physio was making him worse. And since all of this came out with me, and I've been obviously drilling into him how it can affect your joints, and wrist pain is a major one. He does believe me now. But yeah, he's really bad. His feet burn all the time.
Oh my God. So that's all nervous system. Yeah. Because when your feet are burning, it's your brain getting a message that there's a fire down. And then it's just a nerve short circuiting. And that's why a lot of the autistic children walk around on the balls of their feet, because they feel like their feet are on fire, but that's their brain mismessaging their senses. It's crazy how crazy this is. And you know, one thing that I do, and it's kind of a kooky thing, but I'll ask people, do you know anyone that's vaccine damaged? They'll say, what are you talking about? Oh, okay. Do you know anyone that's suddenly died? Or all of a sudden has a brand new cancer, or one that went into remission that came back. And I guarantee you, every single person, if they just think for 30 seconds, they will come up with the story for you. And and they can't put two and two together, which is the sad part. At least you have the knowledge. Okay. And now at least you're on some kind of experimental protocol. And I know John doesn't, we can't guarantee anything, because we're all just been thrown into the ocean without a life jacket here, and we're all just trying to figure it out. So can you imagine if you're successful and you get some kind of protocol going, then you can help others. And once you start helping others and stop thinking about yourself as much as you need to, then it's probably going to help you a lot, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And just going back to said, just talking to people about it and making them realize, like you said about people being injured and they don't actually realize it until you talk to them. So like obviously Lewis with his joints, my friends who are both twins, identical twins, constantly now get tonsillitis. Always get tonsillitis. All my friends keep having really bad colds. One of my friends, obviously, and it's summer here, so I mean, British summer isn't the best, but they shouldn't be getting cold all the time in summer. No. My best friend, Jake, he usually is really active, had a really active job, and now by 2 o'clock, he has to go to bed all the time.
Oh, that's fatigued. A young guy?
Oh, yeah, he's 25.
That's terrible. Yeah. Shouldn't be tired when you're 25.
Yeah, so he's the opposite of me, whereas mine, I can't sleep. I've got complete insomnia. He now has to sleep 10 hours and still needs to go for a nap at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because he's so tired. It's strange. And the girl who does my my eyebrows,
they're not natural.
They are natural. I put a really big post on Facebook the other day just explaining how I'd been affected. I had a lot of messages from people, but she messaged me saying she didn't put two and two together until I made my post. But ever since she had her vaccine, she has quite a lot of panic attacks and she never had them like I did at Christmas. And her blood pressure goes really high. So has a symptom, be it not as bad, but still bad that they're getting a symptom.
Isn't it crazy, huh? Isn't that crazy? So you don't have to go far to get a story. And it could be a story worse than yours. There could be stories worse than yours. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
At least you're not mentally blind to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that I'm part of a Facebook group. I'm part of two, actually. One is an international for vaccine injured, and one's just a UK one. And a lot of people on there I feel really bad for, because they'll say they'll speak to the friends and the family and they just do not get it at all. Whereas I'd say 98% of the people I've spoke to either have felt something change in them since the vaccine or know someone who has. So I've been quite lucky that I've not just been I've maybe been shut down a couple of times by people who have had no symptoms. But even my dad, who obviously at the beginning was very on it.
How many shots has he had?
He's had two. He obviously won't get the booster now because of how I am. But he, really? After his...
You slipped your dad?
Yeah.
That's good.
He's completely... Yeah, he texts me every day saying, he can't believe that he's done this to himself.
And
he
can't
believe that he's done let me do that. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Which I guess is sad, but I guess it's good. No, yeah.
That's fantastic news.
My dad's completely against it now. Yeah. My dad, after his second one, he works in a manual job. He fell through a floor and cut his leg open.
Oh, my God.
I think he had to have stitches, but obviously normally your body would just heal that within 6 weeks, I guess, if you take the proper... creams and stuff. His leg didn't heal for 5 months. He got really bad cellulitis in his leg. Just wouldn't heal. And my dad is one of them as well, who never gets cold. Always got a cold now. So even he knows, and even he's been affected, which is sad but good.
How many people do you think are going to stop at two shots? Like, obviously you stopped at two. And now we're don't forget, we're being told by those that the powers that should not be, that they're not even going to use numbers anymore. They're just going to say up to date. So, because they don't want to say, okay, it's shot number six now, because that might actually psychologically impact people. So they just say, oh, are you up to date?
Yeah. So a lot of people, quite a few of my friends have been boosted, which is obviously really sad. But a lot of my friends who have had two, and then since speaking to me now, say they'll never get another one. And in fact, going back to literally, I'd say every single friend I've spoke to has been affected. Actually, one of my bestest friends, Sian, had her first one, and then a couple of weeks later went completely numb in a left side of her body, which I've experienced as well, and she ended up in hospital. So she had the dots now, and she says she'll never have another. And her boyfriend, Danny, collapses all the time.
Oh, God.
I'd say once a week now, at least.
Just onto the ground?
Yeah. Just collapses in work and has to be sent home. Can't breathe and stuff. So it's so crazy. And obviously I speak to these people now and they do agree with me, but I still feel like I'm the one who's you need to make sure that you're not getting any more. Do you know what I mean? Because you're already getting symptoms. Mm. You're already, even though I'm obviously affected in a bad way, you have had the symptoms, you've been to A&E, you've collapsed. It's very scary.
These booster shots, they're tremendously stronger.
Are they really?
The original, two dose Pfizer was anywhere from 10 to 30 nanograms per microliter, I think, of active content. And then the boosters were up to 100. So,
oh my God,
the boosters are it's not just a double whammy. It's almost like stupid tax.
No, I know. Yeah. And I knew a guy that, back in the day, 10 years ago, he had, what was that when you have a seizure? Epileptic. And the biggest danger, and it happened right when I was with him, we were coming out of a store and he had a seizure. And the biggest danger is when a big guy falls. And if he whacks his head on the pavement, it's game over. So it's not so much the seizure, it's the resultant. If he's standing up and he goes straight down, conk his head and then he's dead.
It's terrible. Like people driving home from their appointments, and that's when you know they go into that low blood pressure mode and pass out,
and then they have a accident. Then they have a vaccident. I call them vaccidents.
It's as well, like speaking to the girl before I put my Facebook post on and let everyone know last week about like how I was. I did speak to a girl who said that she knows someone who went to get her booster because you needed to be boosted to go to France at the time. And she went to get the booster, and the nurse who was administering her booster said to her, "I know you don't want it. I'll not do it, and I'll give you the card to say that."
We need more of those nurses. Yeah.
Hey,
listen, if I need it, I have cash, and anyone that is a cash doctor, if I really had to get all this, I have lots of cash. Yeah. And that's why they don't want cash anymore.
That's how we're going to beat these guys. People like that. I was going around to local pharmacies in the beginning of where I live and just talking to the pharmacist, like, look, I know you have to keep a straight face and nod your head and listen to me like you're not listening to me, but this is your job. And I know they're paying an awful lot because I know that the CVS employees were getting something like $2,600 a week just to give COVID vaccinations. I said, hey, I'm not asking you to give up that money. I'm asking you to shoot it into your pocket. You know, tell the guy, okay, here's and, you know, turn your head away and shoot it on the floor and then stick him with the needle and send him on his way.
That's what I said. Shoot it on my back, baby. Oh, sorry. This is a family show, I guess. I'm sorry. Oh, that's terrible. Hey, listen, Hannah, there's a group my friend runs in Canada. It's called I Will Not Be Silent Anymore Canada. It's on Facebook. It'd be probably great. And him and I are going to do a show. It's got 10,000 members, which is amazing. Facebook, because usually they blow the groups up at that point. So it's still going.
Yeah.
Maybe you can look into that and join it. But we're going to try and do a weekly show where we just talk to people like you who can just tell their story. And I think it's super therapeutic just to be able to get your story out there and then get the support, because you find many people like you, and then they're going to maybe have solutions, things that they're doing for you to try. So you're a pioneer. Look at it that way. You're on the cutting edge of this research and you're trying to help people. And you know, if you could just stop one person from injuring themselves, then you will have been successful, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that is kind of like my...
Your mission.
Without being like completely cringy, just like my purpose now is like to make it so, push it just everywhere in everyone. Like they push the vaccine, push against it, completely just make sure that people don't... Like I cried to Lewis the other day. I said they're gonna try and push a monkeypox vaccine. Mm-hmm. I was like, do not do it, don't do it to yourself, promise me you won't do it. And I said it to all my friends, promise me you won't get any more of these. I don't want to see anyone going through what I'm going through, even though they are kind of having similar symptoms, but I don't want any more. And that is kind of the message that I'm trying to get out there and to help people, that it's not there's no reason why you should be getting any of these vaccines at all. There's no reason at all.
Yeah, I was putting together a blog article when you came in that you were going to do the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I made a big point of was that, if you even do a cursory examination of any of the last 20 or so pills and shots released by Big Pharma over the last 2 years, you're going to find a list of side effects and warning labels that clearly include the risk of furthering the disease damage caused by the same medicine being offered to address the illness in the first place. They're covering up vaccine injury with even more toxic cures and supposedly preventative measures, and all they're doing is they're addressing the symptomology of the people who are reacting to the vaccine. So you know, these guys, it's just a money mill.
Oh, we know it's money, but it's hurting real people. That's the problem. Anna's a real person, and that's the proof. And I've heard stories around me too. My dentist, he won't really talk to me about it. He's a little shy, I think, but he definitely, into the hospital. He almost got stuck with the COVID protocols, which is a death sentence if you go into these hospitals. It's crazy that we can't even go to our own hospital now because they're trying to kill us. And it sounds insane just talking about it, but it's happening. There's just too many people speaking out. They can't all be lying. I know some of them are liars. I don't think Hannah's a liar, and her mother probably isn't a liar, even though I don't know you, but you sound and look super sincere. So we can only just sort of go with our gut, as you guys over there.
Yeah. Hey, App, before we wrap up here, let people know where they can get my book, and make sure you put my email in the show notes. I'm not just selling books for those.
No, you're helping people.
I'm giving them away. Well, I'm giving them away. I mean, you don't have to buy this book. You can just send me an email and I'll send PDFs of it for free. But if you'd like to support me, you know, you could certainly buy one. And I sent you an email with some things to put in your show notes.
Oh, did you? Well, the first link, show link number one, is estateartistry.com, and the link specifically to Hannah that you titled Hang on Hannah, which is really nice. And so did you have another? So I can make link number five your email address if you'd like. People can contact link number five.
Okay.
I'm trying to make it. Oh, I just saw it came in. You just sent an email. Okay, I see that now. Okay. So you got lots of links there. So there's your email for those that are listening is CEO@estateartistry.com. So we'll put that as link number five. Does that sound good?
Yep. And the books are available from a small printer in Tampa, Florida, Central.
Now, does Hannah, do you have a website, or do you have anything or any way that people can connect to you? How would you like to handle that?
Yeah, my email. I've also set up like a funding page for my private treatment as well.
Okay, what's that? Give it to me.
I'll just have a look.
Because the NHS will not cover any of the things you're doing.
No, so my initial consultation with the private consultant lasted for half an hour, and it was £250.
Whoa.
And my MRI, which, ridiculous.
That's like $5 million.
We need to set up a fund for you.
Yeah, my MRI, which is on the 7th of July, is £600, I think. And then my follow-up consultation is another £300. So that's already £1,000.
So the NHS will not do any of this for you. What do they just say? No?
I spoke to a neurologist. No, I didn't. I spoke to my GP secretary, who said that a neurology appointment for even a consultation is 46 weeks.
Oh, so this is how you get to the front of the line. You got to pay.
You have to go private, yeah.
Oh, I got it. Well, at least you can go private, because maybe there's some places you can't even jump the line. I don't even know if you can do that in Canada. I know if a hockey player falls down, he goes right to the front of the line over here.
If you're in Canada, you're waiting 4 to 6 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can still drive to Buffalo if I can get over the border and pay someone over there in America.
That is so bad.
Okay, what's your funding site?
I can send you the I'll send it on an email, the funding page.
Is it GoFundMe? Did you say? We hate GoFundMe.
Yeah, it's a GoFundMe.
We hate people here. They're devils.
Are they?
Well, because they took the trucker, they shut the trucker GoFundMe then, which had $10 million in it. So.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
There's a number of things that I wanted to go over with you, too, when you get time. So another Zoom call invite, and we can cover some of that.
Yeah, definitely. I will do,
So you're going to send me a direct... Is there a name... a word after the word GoFundMe.com that I can type? Or is it a bunch
I'm
of...
I'm just trying to find... It's not really... I can copy the link, and I can...
Okay, just shoot it to me. I'll make it show note number six. That'll be your GoFundMe. Okay, we'll do that. People want to help you, they can do that. And maybe
so
you can
copy me on that too, Hannah. I'll put it on my blog.
There you go.
I will do. Yeah, no worries.
Wow, you're on two blogs. dogs. You're famous. Well, we're going to have you and your mom back on the show. Maybe just your mom on the show, too. Get her, get some of her truth or research out of her.
Yeah.
So she wants to
She'd like that.
Yeah. Have you been on any other broadcasts?
I've not.
Okay.
I've been on a Zoom yesterday with people on like the Facebook group, which it was more so like just discussing our absolute hellish journeys with medical practitioners. That was it, really.
All right. Well, now you're on the Fakeologist Radio Video Network. We have our own video platform called Fakotube.com, which you and your mother can, when you're bored, you can check out some of the videos that I've got on there. I had, you know, I interviewed an 80, almost 81 year old from the Chicago area in America named Jim O'Kelly. He has been on this anti-vax crusade for almost 50 years. He says he can't sleep at night because he thinks about this stuff. And his daughter was basically killed by the medical system, and he has a whole story there. So the point is, he is a crusader. And, you know, if you can just connect to people like that and get inspiration, this guy's been doing it for so long, and he wears shirts that say, don't do it. And I mean, the guy's devoted his whole life. And look at John Lukacs. He's pretty much devoting his whole life to this. So many people are on the good side.
I just got an alert to my email that Dr. Zelenko just passed.
Well, I got that yesterday. Yeah, that's old news. Yeah, I'm a little, I'm kind of leery about some of these truther doctors, because if they're not telling the whole truth, is that good, John? Because
all Zelenko did was take a few of the things that I suggest and stuff them into the same capsule.
Okay.
So I thought it was kind of a lazy attempt. I mean, not bad. I don't want to put it down. He's got some of the right things in there, not all of them, but you know, there's a dosage thing there. I mean, I think he's just trying to make it easy on people, but.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, Hannah, I hope you had a good experience, and it was super nice to meet you. I'm going to take a quick screenshot for my, what I do is I create thumbnails of each show. Yeah. So they look different in my show lineup. I've got, this is show number
Smile Pretty
565. So if you want to smile pretty, I'll get your picture there.
I blinked.
Made you blink. All right. Well, I've got something. I got a nice picture. So this was a bit, this fun. I hope it's been fun for you.
Yeah, definitely has. It's been
hope we cheered
great
you
to
up.
Just get my story out there.
I hope we cheered you up.
100%.
And, you know, this is what it is. Tell my children. I follow this advice for myself. If you have a bad day, if you're feeling low, just go to bed. Because when you go to bed, I know you can't sleep, but in the morning, it's a new day. The sun will come back up again. Yeah. And just you know how you sometimes have to because it just stops working, it starts heating up, and it just freezes. Yeah. Just reset the damn thing. I mean, that's the solution for almost everything electronic. Just unplug it, and then in the morning.
And if it makes you feel better, I'm getting about as much sleep as you. So
there you go.
All right. Well, that was a good way to end the show. So, Hannah, will you and your mother check in with us maybe in a couple months to see how you're doing? If we
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. Definitely.
We'll have to do it on a Sunday because of a 6 hour or 5 hour time difference. So we'll do it on a Sunday day in the daytime, whether it be in your evening or your afternoon, but we can do that. So, great.
That's perfect. No
All
worries.
Right. It was lovely talking to you. Lovely. I got to work on my Mancunian
accent. It was lovely talking to you.
and your mother, Catherine. Tell her thanks. Thanks for...
She said thank you.
All right. Okay, we're going to end the Fakeologist show now. It's been a couple hours, way longer than I thought, but I've enjoyed every second of it. And wasn't it nice to have the lovely Hannah fill up our computer monitor screen there? So good night, everybody. Good day.
See you. Bye.
Take care. Thank you.